I think we all know that children can ask the most interesting questions. One of those might be a challenge for you to answer. Where does God live? Seems to be such a simple question. You might answer, well, God lives in heaven. The Jehovah Witnesses, citing biblical verses, teach that God lives in a specific place and nowhere else in the universe. A Christian fundamentalist group in England teaches the opposite, that God does not have his dwelling place in heaven, also citing biblical verses as proof. Mormons teach that God lives on a distant planet. So where does God live? We humans experience through our senses. Because of this, we try to understand everything in terms of what we see, hear, smell, taste, or touch. And although we have been taught that we were made in the image and likeness of God, we often try to make God into our image. Sometimes we think of God as though he were just another person, just like us. And since we can only be in one place at a time, and we need a place to live, we think that God is the same way. We assign God a place. We imagine perhaps God sitting on the throne in a majestic palace. And of course, that too is a biblical image. So just where does God live? For the people of Israel, the presence of God was found in the Ark of the Covenant, which they carried with them wherever they went. This ark, a wooden chest with gold decorations, held the tablets of the Ten Commandments, a piece of manna from their exodus through the desert, and the rod of Aaron. A special tent was erected to house the ark. In our first reading this evening, King David is comfortable living in his palace. He realizes that he has better living conditions than God, and he consults with the prophet Nathan on building a suitable temple in which to house the ark. Through Nathan, God asked David, "Should you build me a house to dwell in? I who took you from the pastures to become the commander of my people?" Can you just get the sense of the underlying question of, David, just who do you think you are? God's response establishes the correct order. You, David, will not build a house for me. It is I who will build a house for David, a dynasty. We call this the covenant made with David. But God does more for David than simply promise that his kingdom will last forever. God also promises that David's heir will be like a son to me. And of course, we know that David's heir is none other than Jesus. Our gospel this evening tells us of the Annunciation, the announcement by an angel to Mary that through the power of God's word, she would conceive and bear a son to be named Jesus, a name that means God saves. God speaks, and Mary conceives a son in her womb. Ever since the sin of Adam and Eve in the garden, God has promised a Savior. God has acted throughout salvation history to prepare a place for the Word to become flesh and dwell among us. While God initiates the plan for salvation, it is not without an invitation for a human response. Mary responds to the Archangel Gabriel, "I am the handmaid of the Lord. May it be done to me according to your word." With this response, Mary becomes for us the ultimate model of faith and trust in God. She is our great model of faith by her acceptance of God's will. She accepts the invitation of becoming the temple of the Lord, the first tabernacle to hold Jesus, the new Ark of the Covenant. Throughout Advent, the church has called us to prepare for the coming of Christ, not simply a remembrance of Christ's birth, but to prepare for a second coming at the end of time. We have been told to repent, to be watchful. You might remember that first Sunday of Advent, the reading from Isaiah used the imagery of God as a potter and we as clay, and God will form us into the perfect vessel. We have heard the call to remove the obstacles in God's path, to fill the valleys and level the mountains in our hearts that are obstacles to God dwelling with us. And last week, we heard a theme of rejoicing in God's action in our daily lives. We, just like John the Baptist, are called to testify to the presence of God. Jesus tells us that if we become his disciples and strive to love him and keep his commandments, his Father and he will dwell within us. We have been invited to prepare a place for God to dwell in us. On this fourth Sunday of Advent, let's stop to assess how we're doing with our preparation. In this busiest time of the year, are we taking the time to prepare for Christ to dwell in us? In our preparation for Christmas, and all the shopping and decorating, exchanging gifts, all of our busyness, are we preparing for Christ? We must ask ourselves the question, have I honestly given my life to Jesus? Have we answered God's invitation to prepare a place for God to dwell in us? In just a few hours now, we will rejoice as we celebrate the birthday of Jesus in Bethlehem in a humble manger. You know, sometimes we feel that we did not have much to give to God, but his birth in a simple manger reminds us how much God wants to be with us. Jesus was born in a common barn. Just as he told King David, he did not want a palace. God wants to be with us. So as we continue this Eucharist, let us pray that we may come to say yes to God's invitation with the same faith and generosity as Mary. When we come forward to receive Jesus in the blessed sacrament of Holy Communion, the minister will say to us, the body of Christ, and we respond, amen. Let our amen be our yes to God. When we do this, God will not only dwell among us, but God will dwell in our very heart. We become a tabernacle for Jesus. So where does God live? God lives in each one of us.